Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
السلام عليكم. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
Assalamu alaikum.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us, or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, and we're thankful to be here on the 27th night of Ramadan. For some, it's the 28th night, but for the 27th night of Ramadan, this is Laylatul Qadr. And the beauty thing with Almighty God in the way of understanding that the revelation was sent down upon the mind, the heart of the mind of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, out of his concern, his quest for guidance, his under his one needing understanding, his heart being touched by the harm being brought upon many, the oppression, the slaughter, the misguidance of so many. And so throughout periods of time, Here we are in a time, 2024, 1,445 years after the sending of the Quran, the revelation to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And not to him as putting it in his hand, hand meaning a physical hand, like it had been written and brought to him. No, it was revealed word for word upon his mind to repeat, to say, as it was being revealed, it come through a process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing it upon Angel Jibril to be the connector. And through that Angel Jibril impressed upon the prophet to say, and as he began to say, as he began to unveil what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealing to his mind, upon his heart meaning his desire to have life better. So through all the years before, the truth that had been unveiled years before, it had come through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it through. All the years, all the disturbances, the misguidance that became a part of people's lives, after the truth, after the word, the spirit of the word had been revealed upon the hearts and minds of many, and they received the benefit of the word. And even then, there were those who denied the word and never felt the spirit that came with the word. And so the life of the word and the spirit of the word came to life again upon the heart and mind, Muhammad. So for those who are looking for the return of the spirit and the word of Almighty God, look at the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And there's no spookyism about it. Enjoy, enjoy the fruit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to be able to feast upon. That which was here before has returned, and it is a completion because it has now body to live in, to live out in, many bodies. Oh, yes. So the command of Almighty God was formed in word and spirit, came through a womb of commandment, being commanded of that which could receive the commandment or could not. But yet the spirit of the word and the spirit along with it came. And then it was reborn again, came to life again in that of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. So here we are reverencing that time of 1,445 years ago. In this time, 1,445 years later, we are reverencing the revelation from Almighty God, the revealed word from Almighty God, and the spirit to be able to carry the word, to be able to live it out. So how do we live it? How do we see it? Well, first, we honor the life that Almighty God has blessed us with, and we read from Quran, and we're thankful for those who are giving of themselves to be able to acknowledge that Almighty God reveals to whom Allah will, So in listening to Imam Yahya Abdullah and his sharing from the 14th Surah, Surah Ibrahim, which acknowledged Almighty God, revealed this particular portion, and we're going to, in Surah Ibrahim, let me get to that page. First of all, when reading Quran, we acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, is the one, the absolute, the eternal, and many more attributes in word form that we can acknowledge. And as we breathe the air, and as we use our eyes and our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and we ask Almighty God for guidance in how to live our life, how to strive for things to connect with this life, and speaking of our, in our living conditions, food, clothing, and shelter, how to appreciate the food, the clothing, the shelter. And in word form, first, the food, clothing, and shelter. The food is information that connects with us and gives us the ability to believe and to put our faith and trust in, and then bring it into a belief system, a believing process. And then the clothing of it, that the words become a shelter for us. It protects us from any harmful words. And then, again, it's the food, it becomes clothing, and it becomes shelter. That's in the word form. And then the spirit of it connects with it and stays with us, and we relish the spirit that we get, the inspiration. And then that allows us to move from the mental, spiritual component of it into the physical. It allows us to have the wherewithal mentally and to be spiritually driven to obtain food, clothing, and shelter, and using the guidelines, the laws of Quran. That we take not more than what we need, that we look out for our families, ourselves and our families' wealth, that we not be stingy. The beauty of that, that's using the laws, the guidelines, the rules of Quran and the examples of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. So let's go to Surah Ibrahim. And Imam Yahya read from the fifth ayah. Let's see here. I'm going to read 1 through 5, and you'll know when to get to 5 because, alhamdulillah, all right. And the first one is, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alif Lam Ra. Alif Lam Ra. SubhanAllah. Now from here, give me a moment. I'm going to read the 5 ayat, and then inshallah, I'm reading from totally Arabia, so we'll have to go and then get the, I can go there now too, to prepare for the English renderance. All right. Inshallah. Inshallah. Okay, and that's Surah Ibrahim. It has 52 ayahs. Okay. And we want the translation of Yusuf Ali. All right. All right, Yusuf Ali. So we said Alif Lam Ra. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrijan nas minas zulumati ilan-nar. بإذني ربهم إلا صراط العزيز الحميد. A book which we have revealed unto you in order that you might lead mankind out of the depths of darkness into light by the leave of their Lord to the way of, in parenthesis, him, but their Lord, the exalted in power, worthy of all praise. Allahi alladhi lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa walu lil kafirin min adabin shadid. Of Allah, to whom does belong all things in the heavens and on earth, but alas for the unbelievers, for a terrible penalty on their face, in parenthesis, their unfaith will bring them, close parenthesis. وَالَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَوَاتَ الدُّنْيَا عِلَّا الْأَخِيرَةِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عِنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَاجًا أُولَئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. Those who love the life of this world more than the hereafter, who hinder, in parenthesis, men, path of Allah and seek therein something crooked, they are astray by a long distance. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ فَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. We sent not a messenger except, in parenthesis, to teach, close parenthesis, in the language of own, close parenthesis, people, in order to make, in parenthesis, things, close parenthesis, clear to them. Now Allah leaves straying those whom he pleases and guides whom he pleases, and Allah is exalted in power, full of wisdom. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أن خريج قومك من الظلمات إلى النور وذكرهم بأيام الله إن في ذلك
لآيات لكل صبر شكور. We sent Moses with our signs, in parentheses, and the command, close parentheses, bring out your people from the depths of darkness into light, and teach them to remember the days of Allah. Verily in this there are signs for such as are firmly patient and constant, grateful and appreciative. Sadiq Allahu Azim 4 points out of Surah 14 that the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the messengers, Rasul, is to each people, the people of their time, and that their understanding, their condition, whatever the needs are, that the Quran of the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends can be read, rehearsed, and recited over and over again as a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always near, that Allah is nowhere hidden from us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nowhere sitting and as a physical representative looking at us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word is the protection of Allah, is the message from Allah. Allah, the spirit that we receive with it, to be guided aright, to the right, to be lifted in our spirit, in our soul, in our thinking, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always near. And another instance says, closer to us than our jugular vein. Let's go there. We are thankful for this time to be together and to be able to share and to be able to understand and give out what we have to give, that we not be mistaken, that we not be obstinate or arrogant or abusive. So let's go to Quran and let's see. That is in Surah 50. The Surah would be Qaf. There's a letter in Quran that Qaf. And in the picture, it shows the jugular vein on both sides of our neck. And the jugular veins go right to our heart. So, and indeed, and you read the English and then we'll go to the Arabia, okay? Inshallah. And indeed, we have created man and we know whatever. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We have, and indeed, we have created man and we know whatever thoughts his inner self develops, and we are closer to him than his jugular vein. Quran 50, ayat 16. So let's go there. Surah 50. And we want Surah 50, and we want the entire of Surah 50. So we can read what's before and what's after. This is 16. Now let's. Okay, let's see here. Surah 50. We don't have to ask for the ayat. All right. Now, for those who did not complete the qunut, the witr, Taraweeh prayer, alhamdulillah, as you stay up into the night, through the night, believing in receiving that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings, this understanding. Be careful. As-salamu alaykum. Your stomach hurts? Is it because you're running? Hmm. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Oh, it went straight back to Ayat 16. We want Surah. Okay, I'm going to go through it here and there. Okay, then 14. Let's go to Surah 50. Thank you for bearing with me here. That's Hajj, Surah 22. I was reading Surah 22. Here, 52. 49. Okay, Surah 50. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qaf. Wal Qur'anil Mujid. Bal ajibu an ja'ahum mundirun minhum. Faqala al-kafirun hada shay'un ajib. A'idha mitna wa kunna turaba. Dhalika raj'un ba'id. Qad alimna ma tanqusu al-ardu minhum. Wa indana kitabun hafiz. Bal kattabu bilhaq lamma ja'ahum. Fahum fi amrin marij. Afalam yanfuru ila samai fawqahum kayfa banaynaha wazayyanaha wama laha min furuj. والأرض مددناها وألقينا فيها رواسي وأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج. تبصرة وذكرى لكل عبد منيب. ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا كان فانبت به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل فسيقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وحيينا به بلدة تميدا كذلك وثمود وعاد وفرعون وإخوان لوط وأرض وأصحاب الأيكة وقوم تبع كل كذب الرسول فحق وعيد أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد ولقد صنع الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قبل إلا لديه رقيب عقيد وجاءت كرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم وعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد. صدق الله العظيم. We actually read to Ayat 22, subhanAllah. So let's go to English renderance. And let's see here. Let's see here. And as we read the English now, inshallah, seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Fought by the glorious Quran. In parenthesis, you are Allah's messenger, close parenthesis. But they wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, that there has come to them a warner from among themselves. So the unbelievers say this is a wonderful thing. What, when we die and become dust, in parenthesis, shall we live again, close parenthesis, that is a, in parenthesis, sort of, close parenthesis, return far from our understanding. And from our understanding is in parenthesis. We already know how much of them the earth takes away. With us is a record guarding the full account. But they deny the truth when it comes to them, so they are in a confused state. Do they not look at the sky above them, how we have made it and adorned it, and there are no flaws in it? We're at Ayat 7. And the earth, we have spread it out and set thereon mountains standing firm and produced therein every kind of beautiful growth in pairs in parentheses. To be observed, Ayah 8, to be observed and commemorated by every devotee turning to Allah, Ayah 9. And we send down from the sky rain, charted with blessings, and we produce therewith gardens and grain for harvest, Ayah 10. And tall, in parenthesis, and stately, close parenthesis, palm trees with shoots of fruit stalks piled one over another, Ayat 11, as sustenance for, in parenthesis, Allah's, close parenthesis, servants. And we give, in parenthesis, new, close parenthesis, life therewith to land that is dead. Thus will be the resurrection, Ayat 12. Before them was denied the, in parenthesis, the hereafter, close parenthesis, by the people of Noah, the companions of the Ras, the Thamud, 13, the Ad, Pharaoh, the brethren of Lot, 14, the companions of the wood and the people of Tuba, each one, in parenthesis, of them, close parenthesis, rejected the messenger, and my warning was duly fulfilled, in parenthesis, in them. Ayat 15, were we then weary with the first creation, that they should be in confused doubt about a new creation? Ayat 16, it was we who created man, and we know what dark suggestions his soul makes to him, for we are nearer to him than, in parenthesis, his, close parenthesis, jugular vein. And the word jugular, everyone, and the is habali, habali. And just think for a moment, habali. We know that there's qabl, there's qalb, qalaba, the heart, qabala, before, and this is habali, e, habali. And this jugla is the life that is given to the soul is through that jugular vein, the life connection, I said that way, the life connection through the jugular. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer than even that, than what we call the source of the life for the body, the jugular. And warid, the habali, the warid would have to be the vein, the jugular, habali. So alhamdulillah, the warid, and the modifier is habali. So that would be the modifier of the vein. So the vein is the avenue, and identifying what it is, jugular, meaning it is the strong connection. All right. So we now know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only revealed the revelation upon the mind, the core of the mind, meaning we call it the heart of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in revealing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says Allah knows what is in the deepest part of the soul, in our thinking, in our very section of ourself where we desire. Allah knows. And so this vein, this jugular vein, Habali al-Warid. Al-Warid. Praise be to Almighty God. Came before that, we were saying how there are those that deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do this, can reveal a message that is a warning to mankind. That this message coming from the mouth, the physical mouth of someone, it must be magic. It must be something. We can't see the process. We can't see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it. Though we're with it as well. We are all with the ability to receive a thought. And we call it thought. And many times it is an answer to our desires, our quests. I'll put it that way. It's a desire to our quests. So when we make certain quests, we don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reveal it. All we know is that it comes. And we say, that's it. That's it. Ah, I need to do such and such to accomplish whatever our quest is. And it is Allah that is raining down the provision for us to receive the answer. Some, like moisture, suffices before we believe. And it's not something we can fake. When we don't believe it, we don't believe it. When we do believe, we do believe it. Whatever is this extent of our faith is the application of our belief. And so during this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with the ability to hear, to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we are wanting, but we're pleading that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our prayers, accept our quest for forgiveness, accept our wanting to be. In my upbringing, is this particular tune matched to it. I want to be in that number. I just want to be in that number. Oh, I'm so glad to be in that number. And we've come this far by faith, leaning on the one God. Trusting in God's holy word. That's the word. That's the spirit. God never leaves us. No, we've come this by faith, leaning on God's word, trusting in God's word, trusting in God's holy word, never leave. He'll never leave us, no. That's why we say, oh, we've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Yes, we've come this far by faith. And therefore, our belief is expressed through our actions. We form our belief system through praying, doing the good for others,
accepting God's word. That God's word is all around us. God's word is in us, and God's word is around us. So when we become the agents here in this physical life, the agents, believing and trusting in Almighty God and obeying the prophet, following the examples, yes, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the example exemplifying that which came before his life, his living, his existence, his being human. His being human, and all those before, and word and spirit, Allah impressed upon the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Praise be to Almighty God. And so we are with you this morning, dear believing ones, seeking Almighty God's pleasure, as we're here at Masjid Sunnah, and it is also known as the St. Pete Islamic Society, or the Islamic Society of St. Petersburg. Masjid Sunnah and the students, the children are here. Many of the parents are here. They're in the prayer hall. I say prayer hall in the musala. They're in the musala. And I'm here in the dining area because throughout this morning, through the night and this morning, children have been running around and just enjoying themselves. And they come into different parts of the open areas of the building. So I'm here just in case they come in, just to let them know that we're up and we're aware of their being before Allah. In a moment, I'm going to walk into the masala, and I'm going to expect that there are those there reading Quran, reading Allah's revelation, seeking Allah's guidance in their life, whatever is transpiring in their life, however they're asking Allah, wanting to connect with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prayers and peace be upon him. It is a blessing. So praise be to Allah. I received a call from my granddaughter, Imani Abdul Shakur. And at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, all-aware. At this time, her father is in prison. Has been imprisoned in Orlando, Florida, Central Florida Reception Area Unit, East Unit. And I'm sharing this because he may have similar occurrences in your family, or you may have had similar occurrences. But what is he as a central, that's centered in all of our lives is we are servants of Allah, and in this life process of the unknown, and we gradually get to know, we get to know how to trust, how to believe. Once we have that trust, when we're saying from a baby, we have that connection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to have connections. And then we learn communication. We learn it through symbols, hand gestures, facial expressions, and through words. We learn. We have that form of communication. Assalamu alaikum. I believe so. I haven't gone. I was just saying I was going to go over there. Did you just come from there? Yes, you may. Oh, there's none there?
Yeah.
Oh, they got it before you come. You didn't want any of the others? See the clear container? Over here, a little over. No, on over to the, no, to the right. Over here, the big round one on the other table, on this white table. Yes.
And I think they're sweets. Y'all are running so high. You're getting all this energy, huh? Uh-oh. Okay. As-salamu alaykum. See? I just said that they're coming. They're using their energy. As-salamu alaykum. Come on in. Alhamdulillah, wonderful, wonderful. You gonna leave? Let me give you a hug.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, this can be open. I can go back and forth, right?
No,
they're gonna lock this up. Well, I better make myself a way out of here. Yes, I was just having a ball. That's what I was like. Oh, praise be to Allah. I'm spending so much time at home and looking at yes.
Yeah, we're close to the mosque.
Okay.
Oh, I hope it's not locked up yet.
I hope not. The sisters are in there, though.
Yeah.
They're probably. Okay, I'll tap on the door. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum, sis. All right, so let me make my way out of here. Ah, praise be to Allah. All right, let's see. I'm going to debate whether I'll go to my car. I have to, as I said, my granddaughter called. And she's going to go to work. She has to be to work at 7 a.m. So that will be after I have broken fast here. Inshallah. And then I will arrive. I will go to get her at about 6. Be to her at 6. So inshallah, I will leave at about 5 to get to her in time. Okay. This is also where Arkham's Academy is. This address is 2401 5th Street South, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33705. Phone number is 727-592-2149. www.arkham's, that's capital ARQA. M as in Sam, ACADEMY.com. ArkhamsAcademy.com. Full academic program with Quran memorization. Child care center, elementary and middle school. Step up, scholarship accepted. All right. And so we will be interviewing one of the directors on Friday around CWSC Friday Roundtable on April 12th, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is Rashid. And then following week, we'll interview the other director, Gwen. And I'll get Gwen's name, but let me ease on over to the masala. So that Ramadan Mubarak. And the beauty of this, a wide open yard, fenced in, a wide open yard, and they have the grounds lit up and ready. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah. Oh, the front door over here? Okay, it is open. Sisters inside? Sisters are inside there? Nobody's in there? Really? Okay, alhamdulillah. So I can go out right here. Okay. I was in there just relaxing and having a ball, reading. Okay. So you're going to be here tonight, eh? Okay, alhamdulillah. So will it be here for Fajr?
Yeah.
Okay. About 4, okay. Alhamdulillah. Shukran. Uh-oh. All righty. Well, mashallah. I'll be back. Inshallah. So we're going to end this too, everyone. Shall I pull this too? I guess I should. You hear that? That's the gate.
Okay. Allahu Akbar. So we'll be ready. And on the side of the building, there's a figure as someone, a male, making, it's a shadow, black fit shadowy figure with someone making dua. And then there's like distant mosques, but there's a sun at the back of his shoulder, his left of his shoulder, like it's in the west. And then there's like the sunset, and he's making, and it says, Fajr. Alhamdulillah. Very creative. All right. This neighborhood is where I used to live. It is called Harbordale. So there's a Harbordale Neighborhood Association. And there's a few clouds in the sky. Alhamdulillah. And there's a lot of trees to my right. And there's some short, 3 feet poles, white. Keep one, so I'm parking over to the left, to the right, excuse me. To the left is some parking area. And I'm like, I'm the only car here now on this side. Thank Allah, the sister came and acknowledged that no one is in the masala. I was so looking forward to being in the masala and staying up all night. But they did that last night as they started on the 10th day, meaning Masjid Sunnah started on the 10th. So but I managed to get it in, alhamdulillah. All right, so let me get my keys out here. Praise be to Allah. Get the keys. Oh, you don't hear much stirring around. And there's a little park here too. My car is facing a park. Alhamdulillah. Much has been developed since I left this particular neighborhood. But when I get down to the south part here, doing the work, CWSC, that's right now I'm in the Mideast section. I'll be making my trip to Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Detroit, Michigan area. I make my way there and put out our report. Connecting with some of the governance and education and the economics and the cultural arenas, the leadership, such, and how the Muslim community is connected. CWSC is not the Shura. Community-wide Shura conference is based upon Shura, but we are not where everyone can call and say, oh, we need you to do this and this and this for us. No. The process for Shura is for all of us. I believe I left the key in the door. Okay, huh? Okay. Allah. No. Didn't. I think I put it in the seat. I'm not seeing it. Okay. Let's look for it. Or maybe
All right, so let's see here. We're going to share something from Imam Warsadi Muhammad, Rahimahullah. Okay, Night of Power. This is from Imam Siddiq Jad. Muhammad and the Night of the Destiny. And the other is a lecture, Imam Salim Mukman, Night of Power, Oakland, Part 2. Let's see. I think he offered the Night of Power, Part 1. Yes, we'll go with that. Night of Power.
The early Egyptian writers, they wrote in a way that to help understand what the Quran is saying. Not that we agree with them. Not that I follow them, what have you. But it helps. It helps understand the Quran. It also helps understand the Imam. Because we want to understand what the Imam is saying. All of us don't understand the Imam. I mean, let's admit, we don't understand him. When the Imam came, he was new. In 1975, when he started talking, we can't sit here and say, well, I already knew that. I know we felt like it, because it was already in our nature. It was already in our soul. But we were hearing something new. That's why this movement slowed down. Because when people hear things new from a reformer, that have the tendency during the life of the reformer to reject the reformer. This happened with all reformers, prophets and what have you, people reject them. The Arabs, you know, we say that Muhammad the prophet, the prayers of peace be upon him, he accomplished this in 23 years, he accomplished this so fast. Yes, he got their attention. But the Arabs were hard-headed people. And I live around them, they still are. Believe me. They look like they haven't moved since an inch in 1400 years. But they were not the scholars. They didn't, yes, they were contributing, but they had the message. They remember the message, they had the message, but when they carried this message to other people, that's when Islam began to flourish. That's when the great scholars came about. The grammarians are not Arabs. The grammarians are Persians and Africans and others. Because they were interested in what the Quran was saying. And they found these patterns of grammar. And even as I was saying earlier, it hasn't all been said and done. Grammar is not the end of all. Grammar is just the age. In fact, you got to start learning to read without the grammar, but it helps. It helps you because they have gone and looked at the Quran, they find these patterns, consistent patterns, and they write them down. But this wasn't the Arabs. The Arabs spoke Arabic, but they were illiterate people. So it took them time. It's just in our lifetime that we begin to see the production of the Arabs from this book. Not in that time. The doctors, the scientists and all, they came from other people. Spain and places like that is where it flourished. Africa flourished. Because it was coming to other people. Okay, so I'm saying it to say now, the Imam W. D. Muhammad is a reformer. What's a reformer? A reformer is someone who comes with something new, let's say. But he's not coming with what the predecessors have had. He's advancing these ideas. So don't think we can go and read the Imam. And then we're going to go find where a sheikh has said with the Imam, well, I know where the Imam got it from. It doesn't work like that. Because if he's just going to repeat what the predecessor said, he's not a reformer. So these are reformed ideas. These are advanced ideas. So they were new to us, new to our minds. So we don't always understand, like the Arabs. Then Muhammad the Prophet say, oh, those of you, those who are not present will understand this more so than those who are present. Because it's new to your mind. And I have to put this in a language for you because you can't, I know you can't grasp it. But those who come later, after they have gone into the earth and have learned the sciences, they're going to read this and they're going to see this better than you see it. So why should we be Salafis? Why should we be following the first generation of Arabs?
That's right.
When the first generation of Arabs can't see as good as we can now.
Lord.
That's just common sense, right?
Right.
So, yes. Now, the same way with the Imam then. We have the message. And this message the Imam gave us, he put it in the vernacular, if I could say, of the African American. Remember at a night of power? I mean, not night of power, at a Ramadan session. We had the Ramadan session. Some of you were there. I'm sure Imam Fahim was there. Some Turkish brothers came in. Now, two things the Imam did, you know, you have to watch the Imam. The Imam was a wise man. Believe he doesn't lose it. So they come in. So he apologized to them that you may not understand this because I put this in their language. Right? Mm-hmm. Later on, some brothers looking to the Turkish brothers to validate. What did the Imam say? I know this Quran better than they do. So he's showing in this scenario, he's saying I'm putting this in their language, but don't think I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know this Quran because you can't recognize this language. So we're carrying the message of the reformer. We are the people of reformation to the Muslim world. Whether we realize this or not, but we ourselves seem like we can't produce. It's going to take us time, right? To produce from this message. But we can take this message to another people and they'll get it right away. Boom, it'll flourish. But that's what we have. And most of us don't realize this. We don't know it. We could be cheerleaders and say, we the chosen people. Do you all know the Muslim world can't read the Quran? The common people of the Muslim world, they cannot read the Quran. Now, I go places, and maybe it won't work here. We got 100 people here. Maybe more than 1 out of 100 can read it. But normally, about 1 out of 100. You African Americans, I kind of know the African Americans, you my people. I know y'all can't read. Don't be offended. But if we go over to a Arab masjid, they're Arabs. How many of them you think can read the Quran? With comprehension. That's 6th grade. This country, you know, this country forces and holds its education on us. It's a law, right? That when your child becomes 5 years old, you have to put that child in some type of school system. Or else it could be considered child neglect. That's in this country, right? Even though they're not as maybe they don't watch as much as they used to. So if your child, in order for you to enjoy this type of freedom that the forefathers envisioned, you have to have education. You got to be able to read, so you can be informed. You can go and vote for your leaders, what have you. But we have to be able to inform you. So if you go from the kindergarten to the 12th grade. You should at least, if you go to school and just do the homework, don't even do it well, you should be able to at least read on a 6th grade level. So we're going to put the publications, we're going to write them on a 6th grade level so you can read and be informed. How many of you can read the Quran on a 6th grade level? Just read it and just know the first reading, what it's saying, no interpretation, no theology, nothing like that. If I go to an Arab masjid, 1 out of 100. If I go to a Pakistani masjid, 1 out of 100. If I go to an African masjid, 1 out of 100. We have a group of Albanians. The Albanians are Europeans, Caucasians. They got their own masjid. I'm speaking just from the environment I'm coming out of, Detroit environment. Full masjid, Albanians, white men, 1 out of 100. Maybe not even that. They even quit going to Juma, period. So African Americans want to talk to them back in the coming to Juma. They got a very nice built masjid. 1 out of 100. Bengali, whole community of Bengali. They're about to have a whole city. Whole city of Muslims. We have one area of Muslims in Dearborn. You probably heard about Dearborn, Michigan. You haven't seen that on TV. But don't get upset. It's, TV shows what it is. 1 out of 100. So Hamtramck, that's the man was actually born in Hamtramck, not Detroit. It was in Hamtramck. But that's a little city within a city. It's about to become a Muslim town. If they don't have a Muslim mayor, they should. Dearborn has a Muslim mayor. But Hamtramck should have one. I got a ticket, had to go to court in Hamtramck. Everybody's Muslim. I had to pay the ticket. Okay? So how many of them can read the Quran on 6th grade level? Just read it and say, okay, tell me what you read. 1 out of 100. So what am I saying? This is giving me a picture of the Muslim Ummah. In the Muslim Ummah, the common, everyday person cannot read the Quran on a 6th grade level. Now, to give you a comparison, if you go to church and you pick the Bible up in English, right? How many people you think in the church can read the Bible on a 6th grade level? Probably 99 out of 100. Can read and say, this is what it says. Not theologically speaking. Not interpreting, just reading. So that's the difference. That's what has happened. So now here we come. Now the Imam have given us the message. His life is not, he can't live long enough to teach us Abad, Tad, you know. It would take too long. His life wasn't even long enough to give us what he had. So he give us 1/4 of what he has. Right? Now, I guess I'm going to get to my subject sooner or later. Because he explained to us for a long time during his leadership, he explained how he asked his father, what did the deed mean in his name? So evidently he didn't know what the deed meant. His father didn't know what the deed meant. His name was Wallace D. Muhammad. So he didn't know what the deed stood for until the end. In the end, the deed is for 1/4. Because when you look at the moon, when the moon is in the shape of the deed, that's a quarter moon. A, B, C, D, four letter. 1/4, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning that he only gave us 1/4 of what he had. Mm-hmm. And if we just take that 1/4, we can get the rest. Lord. Because his life will not be long enough to give us the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So he gives us 1/4. So he gives us what we can't get. We have, when it comes to Arabic and things like this, we can get this. So he don't have to give us this. But he gives us what we can't get. But he gives us enough that when we go into the Quran with this new man, the man of the reformer, we're going to see it new like the other people didn't see it. We're going to be more advanced in our thinking and our vision, more so than what the predecessors brought. This is the idea of Khalifa. This is our words. So we should be more advanced in our thinking than we are. But we're new in our thinking. This is what we have to understand. But we have to still do our job to reach the world. You see how we're going to remake the world? Now we know that's a good sound pretty, like we can go remake the world and cheer and clap, but no, this is our mission. But remember, in the Ramadan session, the Imam said, be sure to go to those who need it first. We have to come to ourselves first I can make a lot of money. I can make a lot of money. More money than I could count going to other immigrant communities doing what I'm doing. Because there's a brother invited me. They invited me. One group approached me. They say, you know, Celine, your people don't treat you right. This is in Detroit. Not yet. They say they don't treat you right. You ought to be the imam over all the African Americans in Detroit. And we should build a masjid big enough to hold all of you all. Now they set me up, right? Fixed my head. And I'm listening. Just in the actual meeting. So they say, you know, you ought to come and join us. You even look like us. Right? So they say, and this is how they really recruit. They say, you know, when we listen to Imam W. Muhammad, we don't understand him. But when we listen to you, we understand you. And you have fresh ideas. They're fresh. They're new. When you're around us, we don't like to talk about the religion. Because we know you've got something fresh to say. Right? So they said, what do you think? I said, well, in the Quran, you know the surah Abu Lahab. Yeah. Well, when that surah was revealed, Abu Lahab's wife, it was revealed by him and his wife. She set out to kill the prophet. She was furious, his wife. So she, Abu Bakr and the prophet, they were sitting together. But Allah calls her, now this is one of their stories, but it fits. Allah calls her not to see him. So she asked Abu Bakr, she said, where is your friend at? I heard what he said about me and my husband, and I'm going to kill him. But she was so fierce at the time how she saw him, she probably would have killed him right then. So I'm saying this to them. I say, perhaps Allah calls out not to see the email. So no, thank you. I didn't charge you. But the offer. So just recently, this method I'm going to show you all of teaching chronic error. There's a African. He's probably one of the most, when it comes to literature, Eric Litch, probably one of the most knowledgeable that I know in the Detroit area. He's from Ghana. He's from Ghana. And he's over one of the masjids, one of the immigrant masjids. A couple of them. Well known. So he was talking to me. He says, well, Salim, you know, this is last year. This is recent. So every now and then I go back and visit him, talk with him. He says, you know, these people, they're mostly Pakistanis. Arabic is not their language. So they don't speak Arabic. They don't read Arabic. But now, all of them can recite all over the world. They can recite beautifully. But they don't know what they're reciting. He said, if they're not interested in learning Arabic, because he would rather teach them to speak. This is what we were talking about earlier. Most people want to teach Arabic so you learn to speak. Because in most people's minds, in order for you to read and understand Arabic, you should learn how to speak it first. Because normally we learn how to speak first, then we learn how to read. So the method is to learn, you need to learn how to speak, then read. Then you can read. Who ever heard of someone who can read but can't speak? Now we have words for people who can speak but can't read. They're called illiterate. Well, what's the word for someone who can read but can't speak? That's strange. How can you read the best book written on earth, but you can't speak it? Nobody speaks the Quran anyway. So, it's strange. So they can't get in their head to teach the Quran, how to read the Quran and not be able to speak the language. But he says to me, Salim, you can do it. That's what you can do. You can show them. You can show them the words, how they, and they're paid. said, how much you think they'll pay? I got a curious bag, you know. So he said, with them, because they did a Ritzy group, you could charge them $100 a head. For the weekend. $100 a head. I said, really? $100 a head? He said, yeah. I said, well, how many do you think will show up? He said, for you, about 200. So I'm doing the math. $2,000. That's what my wife told me. I estimated $2,000, right? I'm thinking $2,000 a weekend, that's a good thing. I go out to my wife, I say, you dummy. $20,000. I want $20,000. Where's my turban in my... So I'm thinking, no, they not paid me. Well, just 100 show up, that's $10,000. But that's what he said. I saw him again. He said, you know, anytime you're ready, let me know. But what came in my head was, no. On the weekend, I have the Molly classes. I'm going to take it to the people who deserve it most first. Our own people. They came back. Sometimes we have to determine how much am I worth. At what point? Now right now I say, ah, you came back. I'm not for sale. But at what point am I for sale? there has to be, you know, a dollar amount somewhere to say, hey, $500,000? Are you for sale now? $1,000,000? So how much am I worth to say, so, see y'all later? No, they came back. They haven't been able to buy it yet. Yes, alhamdulillah. But they can't read the Quran and comprehend it. Not only that, they have a problem teaching it. Those were at the last Mali conference. You saw the woman from Morocco. She got up and testified that she taught in Morocco, she taught in Egypt. She's learning. And she knows Arabic. When she saw what we were doing, she just lit up. You see, she lit up because it was an easy way for them to learn how to read the Quran. Her children even told her that they'd rather follow this method we're using than the method she had. Because she still don't realize, I haven't had a chance to talk with her, they're teaching people how to speak first. They give you the word, they give you a letter, they give you the word that starts with that letter, and then they give you a picture of something, you know. L, lion, picture of a lion. They teach you to read, to speak. Like in the color purple, table, glass, mic, paper, building, audience. You learn how to put these words together and speak. Well, it takes a while. So I'm saying that to say, this week we're going to take a look. We're going to take a look at Arabic, beginner's Arabic, advanced Arabic. But I have to tell you now, I'm not one of those who come here to tell you that after I leave here, if you can't read Arabic, you're a beginner, you'll be reading Arabic. I'm not here to tell you that. I don't sell that. I don't buy it. If I could do that, I can't even do it. But if I could come here for 1 week, for half a week, for 2 days, and teach you to read the Quran, and you couldn't read before I came, believe me, you couldn't afford me. The stakes would be set high if it was that easy. But that's not how God created us. Everything takes time and learning. Okay? But this is what we're going to take a look at. And we're going to look at tafsir. So, this is this week. Now, let's take a look at the subject here. I'm going to compare We're going to take a look at notes of Ibn Kathir. And then we're going to look at the logic from the Imam. I say the logic because I can't say that I'm quoting the Imam. I'm looking at what they say. I'm looking at what the Imam has said. And then I'm going to have something to say. But in me saying what I have to say, I'm going to use what the Imam has said too. But I'm not going to say he said it. That was the instructions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So any discussion, any understanding needed, I'm not going to say I got it from the Imam. End of discussion. That's how we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got it from W.D. Muhammad. That's the end of discussion. No, be open for debate. And some of you already know I can't take criticism. So, don't be too hard on me. I can't take it. But yes, that does make life more interesting when you can take criticism, but you're standing on your own two feet. It makes it more interesting. Some of you may have seen me on Facebook. How many of you see me writing on Facebook? How many see me messing with people on Facebook? How many of y'all see people jumping on me on Facebook? So I'll be having fun. That's how I make friends. And those that jump on me, they're in the Mali, they join the Mali. Eventually they join the Mali classes. I thought about how to get their attention. Write little things, they jump on me. I laugh. My daughter, she reads everything that I write. She can see it. And she's always calling me, Dad, leave them alone. I'm doing my job. Watch. So the other day, we put up the announcement about the next class. In about an hour's time, 40 people responded. Just off of Facebook. So I'm sure enough, so that's why all these people, I mess with them. Half of them at least. But I'm training myself to take the criticism. And they jump on me. Some of them don't know who I am. So they jump on me. And I jump back. And we have fun, and then in the end, I apologize, make friends, you know. Okay. So, this is the format. So we're going to look at tafsir. We're going to compare. One thing we'll be able to do is look and see what others have said, so we can see where some of these ideas come from that people have, I should say. Where they're coming from. And how they're getting these ideas and the influence. There's a heavy influence that Christianity have had on the Muslim thinkers. Judaism has had a heavy influence on the thinkers. Because you have to remember some of them were in these places before when Islam comes to them. They were Christians or Muslims before, like we were Christians before we were Muslims, so we're still carrying a lot of Christian ideas. We're still carrying ideas that were given to us in a society. Words have meanings. We take the meaning that we were given. We read the Quran. We read that meaning into the Quran. Satan has influenced the meaning already. So I'm going to give them the meaning of religion. So when they read the Quran, they read deen. They say deen means religion. Now they're going to read the concept that I've given them of religion into the Quran. Right? If I say Jesus, okay, I've given you the idea of Jesus. So when you read the Quran, you're going to have this idea of Jesus that I already gave you. That's why a lot of Muslims are still looking for Jesus, the actual person, to return. Because I'm going to give them this idea before they read the Quran. Then they read the Quran, and they say, oh yes, he's coming back. I was in a meeting once, I used to interact. You have different religious groups. Interfaith roundtable. So these are heavyweights. So the Muslim, we got on the subject, he said Jesus is going to come back. He's going to return. The Christian said, oh yeah. So he said, yeah. So now the other Christian, they had to start things. So he said, Salim, what do you think about that? I say, well, I agree. They want me to disagree with my brother, right? So I agree. I'm trying to cut off the fight he's trying to start. Because he know I don't accept that. So he said, you do? I said, yeah, I agree he's coming back. So the Muslim brother said, well, Sam, you don't know what you're talking about. I got some books you can read. I can't take the criticism. Right? So I said, well, I agree he's coming back, and I have a book for you to read to show you that I agree with you. He says, oh, yeah? I said, yeah. So that was the end of the conversation. The Christian brother says, well, I would like to invite you to my church and to my congregation because they don't believe me. Right? So after the meeting, the African-American brother came up to me. He said, why you talk to him like that? I said, he's telling me I can't read. He got a book for me. I got a book for him. He said, what book do you have to show Jesus coming back? I said, Message to the Black Man. Hey. Y'all didn't believe Jesus coming back, did you? So if you read Message to the Black Man, that's what he's going to show me. He's going to be written the same. He's going to show me his message to the black man. Right? So I'm going to show a message to the black man. If you read it, you'll see that the man is the Jesus he's talking about. If it's going to be a Jesus, why not be the man? What are you looking for? What else you want? So that's what I was going to show him. I'm going to show him Jesus already here. But anyway, let's get to the to our topic. We're going to compare Ibn Kathir's ideas. We're going to see ideas. When we compare ideas, it helps us understand the Iman. It helps us understand the Quran because the Quran is what we want. The Iman is pointing us to the Quran. We want to be able to read the Quran and express the Quran. So sometimes we do it backwards. We study the Imam, we study the other writings, we look at the Quran. Now, we'll be able to read the Quran and express the Quran based upon the language and knowledge we've gotten from the Imam. But these things are going to help us. When you're studying a subject, you should read more than one kind of book. You can't read one book. You can't study psychology and read one book. You can't just read what Freud said and that's it. I'm not going to read nothing else. I'm not going to read Jung or anyone else. I follow Freud. So that's it. No, you read others to compare. And we have to go, we're going to a place where we have to be able to argue. That's why I start arguments on Facebook. So I can practice arguing. Practice debating. We have to practice, like little lion cubs, practice knocking each other upside the head, right? Because one day we're going to get out there and really knock somebody upside the head. So we practice. And we have to learn how to practice debate because we have to learn how to present our position and influence people and influence the government. We have to learn how to debate our position. We can't be emotional all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. We can't cry all the time. We can't say, my leader and teacher say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who is your leader and teacher?
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't work. It worked with us.
Yeah.
But you got in the world, it doesn't work. Can't even go around the corner. My leader and teacher say it. Right? No, you have to say it.
Right.
You have to express it.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready for the counter, right?
Right.
And that's what we have to learn to do. So this is so it's good to know the arguments before the argument comes. To know what the arguments are. To know where the sources are for the opponent's arguments. So you will know how to argue your position, your point. So this is what we're doing. I'm not a preacher. And I'm not here for status. I'm not here to be a leader. I'm a teacher. That's how I see myself, as a teacher. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not here to tell you what to do, how to do it. I'm just a teacher. And to be a teacher, I want to expose you to different ideas. Then we can see our idea, and we can see our place in the world. And we can see where we're going in the world. We have a very, very important mission. If our mission is no more than to carry the message and light the world up, we may not be productive. Our place may not be politics. Our place may not be business. Our place may be the people who have the message, to carry the message. We will get benefits from it. In fact, writing books, we have to write. Every time I see the imam, if I say five words, write a book. Write a book. Write a book. Write. We have to write. We have something to say. We have to write. Write, write. That's our goal. You know, people measure the dollar against the gold. Well, we don't have any gold. Our dollar will be measured against our writing, our philosophical thinking. That's what we hold. That's where our credit will be. This one, we have something for the world to take a look at. I believe this. In the Quran, we look at the Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Surely we revealed it in the night of power. That's the way it's translated. And what will cause you to know what is the night of power? The night of power is better than 1,000 months. The angels and the spirit, Ar-Ruh, the spirit, the angels and the spirit descend in it, in the night, in this night, right? By the permission of their Lord. It says their Lord. Who is their Lord? The angels and the spirit. The Lord of the angels and the Lord of the spirit. So that tells us the spirit is not the Lord. The spirit is not Allah. You know, in religion, people have mistaken the spirit to be Allah. I have Jehovah's Witness. Everybody has Jehovah's Witness around. What do you mean I have Jehovah's Witness? Jehovah's Witness, they like to come and talk to me. And that's different. And they like to come and see what's on my mind. And I give them time when I can. I invite them in, give them time. But there's an Arab, some Arabs come by because there's a kingdom hall in the community I live in. There's a kingdom hall there, and there's two of them. All of them look alike. They probably look the same way here. They have a very, we should take a look at other people sometimes. They build them real fast. They all look alike because the same people go, they bring all their tools, they build them, they leave and go back to their places of employment where they live. But they have an Arab kingdom hall and have an English kingdom hall. One, they're next to each other. And one, they speak Arabic, and one, they speak English. So the Arabs come by sometimes, and they bring me the literature. In their literature, in Arabic, the Watchtower and the other, it's in Arabic. So I take a look at it. In their literature, you know, if I were to ask you all, who is Jehovah? You would probably say Jehovah is the God of the Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah is God. But in the literature, Jehovah is not God. In their Arabic literature. You know who God is in their Arabic literature? Allah. They use Allah and they use the term Jehovah. Right? So I'm looking, I'm saying, that's strange. You would think Jehovah is Allah, but Jehovah is not Allah. So I've got one of their pieces they explain that really Jehovah is like this spirit, Ar-Ruh, the spirit. They have mistaken the Spirit to be Allah, to be God. It's maybe very difficult to explain it, but Jehovah is not Allah. Jehovah is the one who does the work of Allah, kind of like Jibril. Jehovah is doing the work. He brings it. He's bringing it from Allah. Because we don't interact directly with Allah. We don't know Allah in his being. Allah is outside of the creation, right? Well, our man can't go outside the creation. Our man can only remain within the creation. We have an idea. We sense Allah, but we don't know Allah. And it's the same with them. So who's doing the work? Who's this force? This force is Jehovah. Jehovah is not Allah. Jehovah works for Allah. But we still say this is Allah's plan, this is Allah's work, this is Allah's creation, this is Allah's nature. It belongs to Allah, but it's not Allah himself in its totality. Like when you make this glass, I'm not the glass, but the glass came out of my mind. You could look at that glass and see Celine. You could look at some work and say, oh, that's Celine's work. Right? You can hear someone sing and say, that's so-and-so's song. But so-and-so has been dead for 30 years. Say, oh, that's so-and-so. As in the movie, we don't want to hear Nat King Cole, we want to hear Ray. So we want to hear Ray. We already had a Nat King Cole. We want to hear you, Ray. We want Ray to come out of you. Right? Yes. So this is the idea. But it's easy for people to get it confused out of ignorance that Jehovah is God. So here Allah is making it clear that the Ruh is not Allah. The Spirit itself is not Allah. Allah created the Spirit. And because they both have a Lord, that tells us the Spirit had to evolve. Because the Lord is the one who evolves things, right? So the Spirit itself has to evolve. The angels have to evolve. Everything in creation evolves. Everything evolves except for Allah. Allah does not evolve. So they both descend from every command, upon every matter, upon every concern, how we want to translate it. Salam on Hiyah. Now here the Quran puts it backwards. Usually we say Hiyah Salam. It is peace. We're talking about the night. It is peace, but it says peace it is. Kind of like Shakespeare, right?
Yes.
And we know Shakespeare was influenced by the Quran.
Right.
So his language sometimes appears backwards.
Yeah.
When Shakespeare is talking. It's backwards talk. But the Quran is like that also. The words in the Quran, one of the marvelous things about the Quran was the words can flip around.
Yeah.
So usually we have a pattern of speech. I can say two words, you can guess the third word. Just from the pattern. But you can't do that with the Quran. That's why they can't read it. Because here, instead of having the subject, then the predicate, it gives you the predicate, then the subject. It flips it. The only way you know that it has been flipped is by the ending. You have to know grammar to know that it's been flipped. So most people don't know grammar. So they don't know the words have been flipped. So to them, their mind, they can't comprehend it. And the Quran looks like sometimes it goes, you read one verse, the next verse jumps way over here. It's kind of like the man of the imam, right? He's talking, he digresses over to here. You wonder when he's going to get back to the point here. He don't get back until it's another speech over here. Right? You have to study. We have to study. Study. So this is how the Quran is. But the Quran is connected. It's all connected. But the words can be flipped around and it doesn't lose the meaning. This is what the poets notice. That's why they say, no man could have done this. Because how can you talk like that? Flipping words around, kind of like our rappers do sometimes. They try. That's why I say to the youth that want to be rappers, you should come and learn Quranic Arabic. Because this is the best rap there is. There's no no better rap than the Quran. In fact, the Arabs were the great rappers before the Quran. They could rap. They could take poetry and do 1,000 lines and never repeat a line and make it rhyme. They were good and remember it. But when the Quran came, it challenged them. The big challenge. If you can rap one verse better than this, try it. They couldn't do it. They didn't speak this language. A lot of people think the Arabs were speaking Quran. They weren't speaking the language. But when they heard it, they understood. Just like when we hear the Imam. Before the Imam said, we can't say it. But when we hear it, we say, oh, I knew that. Yeah. It's in your nature. That's why Allah could say in the Quran to the Jews, oh, you know this. You know this is true. I know you know it's true. Because it's in you already. So the same way with the Arabs. But they couldn't speak this like this. And they still don't speak like this. So the Quranic Arabic is not a spoken, it's not a spoken language. The language that they speak on the street is different. Even the language they speak on the street is not even a written language. You have modern standard Arabic they call it Fusha, but it's, the Quran is not, we can say the Quran is Fusha because it says it is. But the Quran is the highest form of language. But the news people, if you listen to an Arab news station, they're using modern standard Arabic. The rules are similar. All the rules of Arabic, grammar, comes from the Quran. This is how we could have to think about having charter schools. So if you have a charter school, they'll say you can't teach religion in the school, right? Well, you can get around that. You can have after school, you can have it. But you can't force it on anyone. But you can teach Arabic in the school. And you can use the Quran. Because Arabic grammar comes from the Quran, therefore we have to have the Quran to teach Arabic grammar. Because all the rules come from the Quran. This is how we have to learn how to argue. Right? But this is what we can't do. If you are sitting here and you're not a Muslim, you can't become a Muslim while you're in the school because we're not proselytizing to convert you. You come here a Christian, you leave as a Christian. You become a Muslim on your own. You can't take shahada in the school. You gotta go take shahada somewhere else. Go to the masjid or somewhere and take the shahada. But we're not here to convert you. You see how it works? Now, we're achieving our mission. Because our mission is to teach Quran. So the students will learn Quran. And you could teach the language from the Quran, but we're not teaching religion. That's how you get around it. Then you have after school hours if you want to practice. So show the practice of it. So this is something we should think about. This is how the professor did it at the community college. Because you can't teach religion because of the laws of separation of church and state, you can't teach religion in the school. But you can teach comparative religion. You can teach it, but you can't teach it as though you're trying to convert someone. You can't do that. Okay, those are the rules. Okay, let's play by the rules. We won't convert anyone. You come in, you're not a Muslim, can't be a Muslim. You can't be converted. You know, when the president say, I'm not a Muslim, don't you know he can't become a Muslim while he's the president? No, if he did, we can't trust him. He's not a good diplomat. Because you can't be a diplomat and we're going to send you to China. You come back a Chinese. We don't want you to come back a Chinese. We don't want you to go over there because so fascinated by them. You're going to come back as one of them. You got to come back as an American like we sent you. And bring us the message from the Chinese. Don't come back a Chinese. Right? They can't go to Egypt. The president can't go to Egypt and come back and say, I'm a Muslim because I just came from Egypt and they got something real powerful. So we can't trust to see him anywhere.
Right?
So you represent us. Well, next time you might go over here and come back a communist. Because you're fascinated by communism. So when he says, I'm not a Muslim, he can't become a Muslim while he's the president. He has to be who and what he is. Don't be fascinated by other people. You represent us. But if he says I'm a Muslim, and we vote for him, he's a Muslim, then he can't go somewhere and become a Christian. Oh, yes, you're not a good diplomat. You can't do that. Yes. So this is our argument. And this is how we can have, if we want to have the, some of the people are thinking about the charter schools, this is how we get around it. And that's fair. That's fair. Because it's an educational system. It's not a place that you're going to convert people. It's an educational system. You allow others to come in and take a look. You know, I have a great-granddaughter. Her father goes to the black Jewish group. So he goes to the Jewish place on Saturdays. The mother goes to the church. And I go to the masjid. She goes to all three. So she's going to have an understanding of all three. So when she becomes of age, she can make a decision, an educational decision on what she wants to ascribe to. That's fair. You make your own decision. So we can have that. Okay. Ibn Kathir, he's saying that Allah, the Most High, Ta'ala, this is where you are here, Subhana wa Ta'ala. So what does Ta'ala mean? Ta'ala. Ta'ala is actually a verb in the sixth form, meaning that there's a reciprocity. So where is the reciprocity at? The reciprocity is that Allah is above anything that you ascribe to him. So whatever you say Allah is, Allah is above that, high above. Actually, Allah is high above the attributes. So the attributes are not Allah. As they say, it's a way of assessing Allah. But the attributes are in the creation. The attributes are not outside the creation. But we give these names to Allah because that's the best we can come up with. That's the best we have found in the creation. So to him are the most excellent names. So whatever you think is the most excellent name, we give that to Allah. We sense that in Allah. But he is even above that. High above that. That's why we say Ta'ala. So we say Ar-Rahman Ta'ala. He's above, he's highly above that. These are attributes. So this is what we're saying when we say Ta'ala. We say the Most High. But in comparison, in the reciprocity, he's high. The attributes is the highest. When we understand the attributes, it's the highest form of knowledge that we come to as we're going up the ladder. It's the highest ascension we can have. We come to the attributes. So Allah, so he's saying that Allah is saying that he sent down the Quran, Anzalat. Some of you may understand what I'm saying, but I want to express it, even if you don't know the Arabic. When he says Anzalat, he's saying he sent down the Quran, right? And it is a blessed night. It's spoken of in the Quran that surely we sent it down in a blessed night. This is how we get the idea that this is a blessed month. Because this is a blessed night in this blessed month. This blessed night, he sent it down. And the Quran, it says that the month of Ramadan is that when in which the Quran was sent down. So through the analogy, the Quran will sit down in this month, and in this month it will sit down in this night. It's a blessed night. Now, there's a in the literature of tafsir. You know, you may be more familiar with the literature of hadith. In hadith, they'll say so-and-so said, Abu Huraira said it. If Abu Huraira said it, must be true, because Abu Huraira said it. He's the most well-known of those of the muhadith, those who give the sayings, right? You read a lot about Abu Huraira. You don't read that much from Bilal, even on Salat. Why don't we read hadiths about Salat from Bilal? He was the muhadith. He was there. Why don't we read what Bilal said about Salah? Why don't we read what Abu Bakr said about things? Since he was the right-hand man, he was his friend, right? Abu Bakr is very important to read about. Abu Bakr, I'm going to talk as it comes to mind. This is not structured. It's structured, but I'm deviating from the structure. Muhammad the Prophet, he was a good man. We know he was good. He was called El-Amin, trustworthy. But he had to be kind of a recluse. Nice guy. Everybody know he's good. But he don't hang out with everybody. You know, he goes off in the cave by himself for days. Wife don't see him for days, right? For time. He goes off by himself. His mind is contemplating on things. But he's a good man. But Abu Bakr is a good man too. Muhammad the Prophet is not the only good man that was in Arabia. There were other people that were good. So he was a good man. But he was a businessman. And he had lots of friends. He did business. You know, a good business person has a lot of friends because you have to have that personality to do business. So Abu Bakr had a lot of friends. A lot of people liked Abu Bakr. So if you look and study the history, it was when Abu Bakr became the Muslim that a lot of people started coming because of Abu Bakr. When Muhammad the Prophet gave the revelation, went to his family, now we know the story, they're rejecting him. Oh, he crazy. He's this, he's that. And the people didn't come right away. But when Abu Bakr accepted, they started coming. Another one came, another. They heard about Abu Bakr, they came because he had a lot of friends. And this helped a lot. So, but we don't have hadith by Abu Bakr. We don't have hadith by a lot of the companions that was right there with him. Why is that? Because they did not want the people to see Muhammad the Prophet so much more than the Quran. Because they were told, be sure to give the people the Quran, not the Prophet. You will see the Prophet in the Quran. So don't talk a lot about me. Don't talk about a lot about Salim movement. Talk about Mali. Talk about the objective. Not me the person. Nobody wants you to talk about them the person. That's you really become a recluse. I've experienced that as a young man. I was an athlete, very popular, not by my I don't have a popular personality. Nobody racist. When I come in the room, nobody racist to me. nobody, as y'all can see by now. Right? Hey, that's me, hey! I can walk in the room and walk out and nobody says a word. I go to Juba and leave, nobody better, you know. I'm not popular like that. And I'm quiet by nature, unless I'm teaching the Quran. I'm quiet and, you know, kind of an introvert. So this is my nature. But I'm an athlete. Now I go to this big high school, everybody knows me. But I don't know anybody. So that caused me to become more withdrawn from people because I'm not a people's person. And everybody, white, black, indifferent, you know, the school is white, a lot of different kind of people. Just to walk down the hall with me was a big deal. But me being me, I don't say a word. You want to walk with me? Come on. Yeah, me, you know, hey. But this is how Muhammad the Prophet, I'm visualing visualizing, that's how he was. Not somebody hung out in the crowd and, hey, that's Muhammad, come on, let's get together. But Abu Bakr was probably that type. Hey, that's Abu Bakr, hey, what's up? Let's go down here, all right, come on, you know. My father could, like the imam. You know, the imam could walk in somewhere and walk out, you never know he was there. The only way, look, we know the imam. We know him. We know him when he's seen, when we see him. I was with the imam one day. He was going to this funeral. So I was saying, okay, come on, we're going to go in this door. And I'm walking ahead of him, I thought. I turned around. Where's the imam? I can't find him. Where did the imam go? I'm looking all around. But he had gotten in line with the other people. He wasn't going to go through the special door. He was about as close like this. I didn't see him. And the other people didn't, I guess they didn't see him either. Because he's the imam. It seemed like that's the imam. Everybody would crowd around him. He was just standing there. Okay, buddy, man, come on. We're going to ride this way. Okay. Very obedient. The imam, very obedient. But that's how he was. He just walked in places. And you wouldn't even know he was there. One time we were at a luncheon. And we were at this masjid. And the imam was going to speak. So it was set up for him to speak there. So we were sitting having lunch first. And we were just having lunch talking. The imam was sitting right there with us. And, you know, he never presented himself as a big figure. He just common like the rest of us. We're sitting there, we're talking and joking. So finally the brother said, I thought you all said that Imam W. Muhammad was coming. So we say, you know how you get the look on your face? Who's going to be the one that tells him? Here he is right here. And he just eats it, joking with us, and we're having a nice time. So I look, I'm not going to be the one to tell him. Oh, man, he just not look on the person's face, you know? But that's how I'm thinking, that's how Muhammad joking with us, and we're having a nice time. So I look, I'm not going to be the one to tell him. Oh, man, he should not look on the person's face, you know. But that's how I'm thinking, that's how Muhammad the Prophet was. So we should, the Quran is, we should present the Quran more so than Hadith. It looks like the world has reversed it, doesn't it? Yes. They don't present the Quran. They try to present Muhammad the Prophet. So now Ibn Abbas, when we're looking at the literature, when we're looking at the Tafsir literature, the early writers, because as I said earlier, people like Ibn Kathir and others, it's about four or five of them, when they write, They don't use their own metaphor to explain another metaphor. They're not taking their environment to explain something. The later writers start doing this, so it makes it harder to read because we start using our own background, our own social, political situation. Like for us, if we write, racism will come into the writing somewhere. Then a person outside of us will think, what is this? We understand what it is, but they won't understand. So So the first writer didn't write like that about Quran. They just tried to address the Quran. Later writers like Said Qutb, if you get into their type of writing, it's the whole political, Egyptian political situation that's within the words, the figurative speech. They got their own figurative speech. So these writers tried, they didn't have figurative speech. So I believe that's why they're more popular. And then Ibn Kathir kind of condensed the others that came before him, and his writing is a little clearer. You can see the evolution of the Arabic writing. Now, Ibn Abbas, everybody reports Ibn Abbas. He must be a person like the Imam. If you say the Imam said it, it has to be true, right? You don't have to give dates and times and places, you know. They just say it. You get in an argument, what the Imam said. That's the one up. Okay, end the argument. You can't beat that. Well, unless you say, I was with the Imam and he said it. Then you got to say, well, I was with the Imam yesterday and he said it. So this is Ibn Abbas. And you'll find in the discussions about a verse, everybody say Ibn Abbas said it. So here he's saying that the Quran was sent down in one whole. It came down whole because when you look at the language, they're pointing to the language. The language is Anzalat. Meaning it's causative, it comes down, but only once. It's not repeated. Now another term in the Quran is nazalat. Nazalat means it's repeated. The act is repeated often. It's repeated with intensity. But when we say anzalat, it's not intensified. It just happens one time. That's it. Allah calls it to happen very smooth. No tension on it. You know, no force. It was just caused to happen. It's in the creation. So he's saying that it came down once in this night. This night meaning it just came down. The whole Quran was revealed in this night. Then it comes down to the lower heavens. But we're talking about man and man. Then and they're also saying that it was revealed on the heart of Muhammad the Prophet. The whole Quran was revealed. You may hear some people saying that Muhammad the Prophet had already had the whole Quran. But it's over a period of 23 years that it's revealed. See, the word Anzalat in the language doesn't mean revealed. It means come down. Like rain comes down. Rain doesn't reveal. When it comes down, it's not coming down, revealing. It doesn't reveal until the plants come up. Now we say the rain is revelation. It's come down and it reveals what's hidden in the earth. Right? So the Quran comes down into the heart. Then it reveals itself to the intellect. It comes to the intellect and it's revelation. Then it's revelation. But in our language, we say as revelation comes down. Yes, it is. In the language. But actually what we're saying is that it comes down, enters into the heart, now it lights up the intellect. When it comes to the intellect, this is the maturity of man. Man doesn't mature until the knowledge reaches the intellect. It could be in the heart, but he's still immature. So earlier when I'm saying we're immature people, it's not a put down, it's just that it hasn't come up here yet. When it comes up here and we're enlightened, now this is the full growth, this is the full development of man when he develops up here, not down here. Because this is what's going to bring about the production, the productivity, the interaction with the creation. This up here has to go. This may request it, the heart may request it. The heart may desire it, the nature may desire it. It may be pushing and pushing, but it doesn't happen until this gets turned on. When this gets turned on, then we can move. So this is the idea that they're saying the whole Quran came down as one whole in this night. Then over a period of 23 years. And what will cause you to know what is the night of power? The night of power is better than 1,000 months. So in the literature here, is saying that Muhammad the Prophet, the President, peace be upon him, he mentioned about, it was mentioned to him about a man. He was from the Bani Israel. And he would wear a sword. He would wear a sword in the way of Allah, meaning he was ready to fight in the way of Allah. For 1,000 months, and the Muslims, they were amazed at this. Someone would fight for 1,000 months. In man's time, we're going to look at the difference later. That's about 83 plus years, right? Mm-hmm. But Muhammad, it was revealed, when this was brought to him, it was revealed to him that we revealed it in the night of power. And how would you know what the night of power is? It's better than 1,000 months. So he's saying that the night of power is better than 1,000 months of him wearing a sword. We also give reports of a man who would, he would pray, he would stand the night and pray. And in the morning, in the daytime, he would fight. And Muhammad the Prophet is saying that this one night is better than him doing that 1,000 months. If someone stands in worship, this one night is better. This is coming from the reports. Also, the report is that the angels descend this night, meaning a large group of angels, they descend this night. And they are present in this night with us, just as they are present when we rehearse the Quran. You know, when we rehearse the Quran, now this word, the word is rehearse. That's if I translate it, I would say rehearse instead of recite. Yeah, some people would say recite the Quran. You know, you have the sun and then the moon that follows it. Well, the word for follow is to rehearse. The moon is rehearsing. It's following the sun. They say follow. I guess that's easy to take than rehearsing. But since we know about acting now in movies, and this is California, you all know what rehearse is, right? We're closer to LA than I am. So we rehearse. So when we rehearse in the Quran in our life, the angels are obligated. They are commanded to assist us when we rehearse in the Quran. So this night, they are commanded to descend on this night, the same as when we rehearse in the Quran. Now, when we're not rehearsing the Quran, they can help us if they want, or they cannot help us. But when it's the Quran, especially when we're conscious of it, and we're putting it in our life, the angels will always be there to help. Allahu Akbar. So that's this night. And it is peace. And this is coming from Ibn Kathir. It is peace, he's saying, that this is the night that Satan will not have his influence. He doesn't have any influence on us this night. So we shouldn't have that influence and see that influence, his works. would not be in this night. Also, and we have heard that this is a night when matters will be concluded and decided. We've heard that before about this night. This tonight, our record will be gone over, and certain things of our actions and deeds will be written and concluded in this night. Now, these are just sayings that we get. So I'm showing you where, from the literature, that they come from. In the history, in the time of the Quran, since the Quran being revealed. Now, if we want to look at some ideas here from the logic, I would say, of the Imam. The word for power, the night of power, we say Qadr. We say power, but it can be seen as potential. We have any electricians here? No electricians? It can be seen as the potential. Potential is, we understand power, right? The lights, we say that's power. Mm-hmm. We have power companies and what have you. But when you have a source, there's a source for this, for the power. That source, when the light is not on, the source, like a battery, is sitting there. That battery is potential. It has the potential to light up the light. So that's what it's called potential. It's not power. It's not power until it lights the light up. Then you have power. And then they say you're using power. But if you don't cut the switch on, it's just potential. So this cotton, is, we could say, is potential more so than we would say it's actual power. But there's power in it. It produces. But it's potential. We'd say it's potential. It's a life force or energy source. It's the source of energy. Now a lot of companies are changing to be called energy companies instead of power companies. Because of their, before they were talking about production. When you're talking about power, that's the production of the energy. That's the destiny of the energy. Now they're naming themselves after the source, the energy source, now because